Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me in this session. My name is Kostas Milonakis. I'm with Microsoft for numerous years. I'm now part of one team named Center of Excellence Team for Cloud Computing. By being part in that team, I'm trying to help strategic customers and partners that Microsoft has around the world to realize business benefits by adopting the cloud computing technologies. By doing that for almost 2 years now and having my previous experience, I have selected some best practices, hints, and lessons learned by that. And I would like to share all that with you during this session. The objectives for this session includes the definition of what's a hybrid IT environment, what is the end state that everyone talks about that. Then we're going to talk about the main part of this session, what is the planning that we need to do in order to do the transformation. And finally, I have one sample plan that we can say it's more or less a best practice or one pattern that fits in most of the enterprises in different industries and can be a good foundation for you in order to start making the planning for your own organizations. Before moving forward, I would like to discuss with you about some stereotypes that exist out about cloud computing. First of all, what is cloud computing? Discussing that with many customers around the world in different industries and different markets, people have the opinion that cloud computing is a new technology, it's a new black box, or a new set of different products coming from different vendors. Some other things that's just one buzz. Some other things, something between these two. The reality is that cloud computing is just a new term. It's just the IT transformation trend that we see the last years. Cloud computing originally is one set of IT principles that have as goal to make the IT more business relevant. It's about making the IT closer to the business and enhance the agility that IT has in order to serve the business. Next thing is about private cloud and virtualization. Forrester, 3 months before, has made one study about what large enterprises think about private cloud, what private cloud actually is, including many of the Fortune 500 organizations. 70% of organizations thought that they're having a mature private cloud infrastructure by just having advanced virtualization. Definitely, cloud computing is not just virtualization. It's many things on top of that, having resource pooling, having self-service portals, having all that metering that we need to have, and making the automation as a key part of the IT infrastructure in order to make commoditized tasks automated and have people focusing more on the business and less on technology. Cloud computing is a big trend also inside the IT industry. There is, actually as we speak, there are 47 different cloud vendors that promise that they have something killing for your organization, something that will help you to make things easier, something that will make cloud computing adoption something really, really nice for your organization. The truth is that private cloud is something that is getting driven by these organizations, focusing on one pain point that we have in the IT industry for many, many years, reducing cost. Cloud computing is not about TCO. Definitely we have some gains in that space, but cloud computing is mainly about business agility. It's about making IT in a more relevant way for the business. So if we focus on TCO, we lose actually the main focus that we need to have when we're talking about cloud computing. Another stereotype is about what we can deliver on the private space. Since cloud computing and talking about data centers and virtualization, people think that in the private cloud space, what we can have is just infrastructure as a service, doing advanced virtualization and having some automation there. As we speak, at least Microsoft is ready to deliver technologies supporting infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service in both domains, both in on-premise and on public cloud. One good starting point for most enterprises to start thinking about the cloud computing adoption is by start landing infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, because in that layers, we're having one abstraction that we don't need to invest much more energy in order to re-engineer the applications and do all that business flavor at that level. Last but not least, it's not about private cloud. It's not about public cloud. It's just cloud, just hybrid cloud. And I will elaborate about that in the next slides. So, defining hybrid IT and hybrid cloud applications. Let's talk about three terms in order to make our conversation on the same side. A hybrid cloud infrastructure is one infrastructure that has one or more private cloud infrastructures and one or more public cloud infrastructures. A hybrid IT is one IT practice that uses service provider principles in order to support that hybrid cloud infrastructures and the services that we deliver to the business. And finally, hybrid cloud applications are applications that support services by being deployed in one hybrid cloud environment and being supported by that hybrid IT model. Let's go a bit lower and see what are the structural components of a hybrid cloud infrastructure. First of all, we're having one private cloud infrastructure, one or more private cloud infrastructures. How this look like, or how this should look like? It's one cloud infrastructure that is usually deployed on-premise and is targeted to support a single enterprise or a group of companies or a specific organization. We're having specific services that we define on our terms. We're having some multi-tenancy, and we definitely try to deliver services following all the cloud attributes that we're having: self-service portal, metering, standardization, elasticity, resource pooling, etc. By doing that, we're having some cloud capabilities. We're having these cloud capabilities. We're having multi-tenancy, we're having integration, security, economies of scale, flexibility, and elasticity. Trying to think what we gain by applying one private cloud infrastructure in a regular organization, we see that we're having some strengths and some areas that are not so strong. I don't want to say weaknesses. For example, multi-tenancy. Working with many enterprises, I don't invest much time in order to do something really, really hardcore when we're talking about multi-tenancy. We don't do all that extreme isolation that we see in the Windows Azure. We do just separation. Technology definitely can support that, but there is no reason to do that. We don't want to over-engineer something that should not be over-engineered. Integration. Since this is a one cloud environment, this is one infrastructure that we built on our terms, we're having any kind of flexibility in order to integrate with any third-party systems that we found in the organization, like billing systems, operation management systems, etc. Security. There is no change, actually, comparing that with the traditional IT. We still own the data, we still own the infrastructure, we're still having our processes. So security is actually intact. In some cases, I have to say that we're improving security because having the extreme standardization and applying some compliance policies on the cloud infrastructure, we're getting some benefits also in that space. Economies of scale. This has to do about the scale of infrastructure. We do consolidation, so we're getting some economies of scale. But comparing that with one public cloud environment, we can't say that we're having huge economies of scale. Flexibility. In the way that we define services, for example. It's our infrastructure, it's our applications, it's our services. So we define the service templates and the service modeling that we want and fits exact our organization. We can change that anytime we want, so we don't have to wait about when one cloud vendor will release something new, and we need to fit in that. Elasticity. This comes closer to the scaling and the economies of scale. Elasticity is something that we definitely have, but think that the capacity that we have on-premise is something specific. So we have some elasticity, but we can't say that similar like Windows Azure, that we have infinite capacity and we don't have to think about that. Public cloud, it's very, very similar and very, very different. Having one public cloud infrastructure, actually we're having, again, one infrastructure, one IT organization supporting that. We're having all the different cloud attributes to support that, specific services, and many different enterprises or tenants that take services from that. So pretty close to what we have seen before. The cloud capabilities are getting realized here and having different outcomes out of that. For example, multi-tenancy, something really, really strong. Integration, for example, in Windows Azure, we're having APIs, we're having PowerShell. We can integrate with almost any kind of third-party systems, but we don't have as much flexibility as we used to have with the private cloud environment. Security. Actually, it's not about security. It's about data privacy and compliance with different security frameworks. Windows Azure, Office 365, BPOS are in the market for some years now, actually about 5 years. There are every day numerous of security attacks, but none of them is successful. Definitely there are outages in Windows 1000. We all know that. Some of you probably have experienced that, but none of them was because of a security incident. So security is more about data privacy and security compliance, how we manage that. There are organizations, there are industries, there are policies that deny from the IT organization to take data out of premise. So there is something that by design we need to see in a very different way. Economies of scale and elasticity. These are two key competitive advantages of all the cloud vendors, and that comes close to what we have as a total cost of ownership of the services. And flexibility. We do have flexibility because as we speak, it's not just Microsoft, it's not just Amazon Web Services. There are numerous of public cloud vendors out there. So there is options to choose the service that you want to. And hybrid cloud, in principle, doesn't define that you need to have just one public cloud vendors. You can have or you should have more than one. So having these two infrastructures and having these two cloud deployment models, one next to the other, we see that the weaknesses of one is the strongest points of the other. So what we need to do in order to gain the most out of one cloud computing initiative is to compose one infrastructure that is merging these two in one. That's why I said before, it's not about private cloud, it's not about public cloud, it's about hybrid cloud. Definitely, this is one architecture challenge that you need to face during the planning phase. But this is the way you have to go. This is the way you have to go in a long-term planning. Some people think that private cloud or hybrid cloud is the transition path to go to the public cloud. But I have a completely different view, going to different enterprises, seeing different complexities. I don't think that we are ready in the 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, huge enterprises, huge names like Fortune 500 organizations to switch to public cloud entirely. So hybrid cloud will be alive for many, many years. Let's see the evolution of the hybrid IT from one technology standpoint. As we speak, most enterprises, most organizations have implemented virtualization, have get some benefits out of that. Virtualization, in order to gain all these benefits that we need to get by a cloud computing initiative, needs to be enhanced. Virtualization is actually one abstraction that we have between the applications or services and the physical resources. Most organizations do virtualization on computing resources, just having some hypervisors and supporting virtual machines or supporting different services with some resources. We need to expand that umbrella. We need to expand that abstraction with all different computing resources that we are having in order to support the application. This means that we need to do storage virtualization, needs to do network virtualization. And this shifts everyone to something new. It's one term that it's a big buzz now about software-defined data centers. We need to manage all the resources in the virtualization layer. Since we have done that, we are ready in order to build the upper layers on top of that. We can do advanced management, we can do orchestration, we can do automation, we can have the self-service portal. But if we don't include everything in that virtualization umbrella, it will be really, really hard and we will not have a holistic approach, something really, really critical for the successful implementation of a hybrid cloud infrastructure. Since we have done all that, we actually have one private cloud infrastructure. The shift to a hybrid IT is something pretty easy if we have all that. We just expand the lower layers with extra resource pools coming from Windows Azure, for example, and we add extra services and functionality that we inherit by that. Talking about management, let's see what are the needs that we're having from management standpoint. First of all, we need to manage resources. We need to manage all the resources that we're having, the Windows Azure subscription, the servers, the network components, the storage components, the load balancer, everything needs to be managed. We need to manage all the hypervisors. Next to that, we need to manage the workloads, virtual machines, databases, everything that we deliver as a service needs to be managed. And finally, it's about the business flavor that we said a bit earlier. We need to add all that flavor of having services metering, having the SLAs, and having the interaction with our services consumer. All that management needs need to be approached holistically. For Microsoft, the solution is System Center 2012 SP1 R2. I will not elaborate more on that because there are many, many sessions during TechEd about that. But the competitive advantage of System Center is that it is able, out of the box, to deliver all this management capability without having to invest a lot of energy to do that. And we need to have a holistic approach to the management, because think of one scenario, for example. Think that you have one scale unit, we have one hypervisor that needs to be installed one patch. So we need to move all the virtual machines to some other hypervisors. We need to take that out of the pool to install the patch and then move again the workloads in such a way that we don't have any service downtime. So we need also to think that on different scales, on different scale units, we don't implement the same service components in order to avoid downtimes. So we need fuzziness and we need input from all the different management approaches. Let's say that we have one hybrid cloud infrastructure, we're building the hybrid IT model in our organizations, and we think about how to launch services. Again, it's not about making bold decisions. Think about a vision, one scenario, that you're having one self-service portal, you're having one service consumer that is one business person that accesses this portal and completes some business-relevant information. I need one SharePoint site. I need to store in that site information that will be public. I need to have infinite capacity, or I need to handle different spikes because some marketing campaigns will be supported through that, etc., etc., etc. And this person submits, okay. Automatically, the hybrid cloud should deploy that service instance somewhere in the hybrid cloud infrastructure, following all this input that this person has filled in the form. After some period of time, let's say that it was one SharePoint site that has been deployed on the public side. After some period of time, this person that owns this service instance identifies that this information that we store there is critical. So data confidentiality is getting higher. So I need to change that in order to be compliant with all the policies that we have. This person visits again the portal, makes one change, and automatically the system, in a very transparent way, moves the service or some service components to the different site. This is the vision. We need to have dynamic services placement. It's not about having static placement. We need to be able, system, following specific rules and algorithms, to place services or service components across the different environments. I have one customer in Mexico that is one huge bank. This customer definitely stores all the data internally in the data centers in AS/400 systems. This customer would like to have one processing application that every first of month will process most of the data and requires a lot of computing resources. Something that is not something that they can predict how much that will be in order to provide some kind of results and reports to the business. So they have used one hybrid cloud infrastructure, one hybrid cloud architecture, and they are having the data on-premise, they're having all that processing application on Windows Azure. That cloud application goes and accesses all data, do all that processing, and dumps all the reports back to the premise without having problems with any of the compliance frameworks that they need to comply. So, to go forward, think that we don't make bold decisions on services. We place services, or even better, services components on each site that we think will take benefits in order to gain the most out of cloud computing initiatives. Think about hybrid cloud components. Think about having portability, how that should give advantages to our service and to our business. One fundamental algorithm that you can start to build your own is something like that. This algorithm definitely needs to be automated in order workloads and different service components to be placed between the different resource pools that we have. First of all, it's about data confidentiality. If we have something that is very, very critical, and according to the regulation that we have, sometimes we need to put that on the private side. Then it's about performance. On-premise, we're having something very, very specific as capacity. So if we need something that needs huge capacity, then we should consider if it is wise to expand our local resources or to utilize Windows Azure. Accessibility, is that going to be accessed internally or publicly? Is it going to be one mixed scenario again? And how are we going to handle that in our case, in our policies, in our organization, in our culture? And last but not least, about scalability and elasticity. What kind of peaks probably going to have there and how we need to manage that, because we need to have predictable services. By making one algorithm like that and adding some number next to that, this is a good way in order to start thinking about the chargeback or the showback model for your organizations in order to have a final cost of the services. And this is something that you potentially need to communicate back to the service consumer in a charging way or in a just showback way. And the SLA, because each infrastructure supports different SLAs. Let's see a bit about how a hybrid IT solution architecture should look like. On the left side, we're having one private cloud infrastructure, and on the right side, we're having one public cloud infrastructure. On the private side, we're having Windows Server that does all the virtualization that we need, and on top of that, we deploy the different workloads, virtual machines, databases, platforms as a service, whatever is that. On the other side, on the public side, we're having Windows Azure, and on top of that, we're having, again, the different workloads. Between these two structural components, we need to ensure that we can have portability or mobility. We need to have the capability to move workloads and services between these two, following specific scenarios. So we need to plan that. Going one layer higher, we need to ensure that we're having a consistent management approach between the infrastructure and the services that is delivered on top of that. So we need System Center, for example, to do infrastructure and service management and make sure that service consumers have a constant experience. We don't want service consumer to have a different portal to manage the application when some components are supported by Windows Azure and have a different interface to manage the service or some service components when they are supported by our on-premise infrastructure. This is something really, really critical. And on top of that, we're having the self-service portal that interacts with our service consumers. Some key success factors before moving forward. Data privacy. This is something really, really critical. Many, many enterprises having internal policies or some geographical defined policies that don't allow them to take data out of their premises. So think out of the box. Think how you can have smart scenarios that you can avoid that kind of dead ends or blocker and have one successful hybrid cloud application. Transparency. We don't want service consumers to be frustrated by the infrastructure. We don't want service consumers to think again about technology, to think about technology terms. This is something that we should leave in the past. Holistic management, this is a key success factor. Definitely, complexity is higher than the traditional IT model, so we need to have a holistic management approach because we manage the IT from three different approaches. So we need to have a holistic management because all these different perspectives are very well connected. Portability, very, very critical in order to gain advantages by having a hybrid cloud application. Just having two cloud computings, that having one bridge between them, it's not something that brings a lot of value to any modern business. We need to be able to move workloads between the different resource pools. Integration with existing systems. Many organizations have virtualization. Probably your organization already have done something in the virtualization space. Many of the organizations already have some other infrastructures like incident management, CMDB, etc. So you probably want to integrate with that. You need to have all that incident and problem management interface being part of the self-service interface that you have for your cloud services. So you need to think how to integrate that. And believe me, this is one very time-consuming task. So think about that and don't leave it behind. Deployment adoption plan. There is no golden rule here that says that any enterprise, any organization can adopt cloud computing in one night or one week. Most of my customers that are about 1,000 to 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 virtual machines, we're making some roadmaps that takes from 6, 9 months or 2 years in some cases, regarding the complexity in the IT organization and the service that they have. So don't get fooled that you can do that in a short period of time. That's why you can say that this is a journey, and we need to make sure that we're having one plan that releases new features to the business and you get benefits as you go. Planning the transformation. Cloud computing. I'm working for Microsoft. Microsoft is one technology company, but we have invested a lot of energy in order to gain know-how in data center and cloud computing space. And cloud computing is not just technology. It's about processes, it's about business, it's about operations, it's about managing services in a different way. Technology is something that is already solved. As we speak, you can go in one of Microsoft hardware partners like Cisco, Fujitsu, HP, or the others, and buy one fast-track solution. This is a pre-configured private cloud infrastructure, having all that automation, all that process in place, and you can learn that in your environment. Will that work? Definitely not. So it's about making the shift to the business, making the shift inside your IT organization, because new roles will be born. Who's going to be the cloud owner in your organization? Who's going to own each of these cloud services? Who's going to manage the capacity planning? Who's going to interact with the business and have one release cycle for new features per service or per cloud? So new roles are getting as a new reality, new responsibilities as well. So you need to manage that. You need to manage the interaction with the business. So cloud computing, it's something that should be focused most on the business part and less on the technology. First things first, we need to identify what is the business. We all work for some businesses. We all have one perception about what's our business. One key advice that I'd like to give to you is that engage again your business stakeholders. Go to them and talk about what is your business priorities, your pain points, what are your strategy, what you will do in the next years, and how do you perceive IT? What do you think we do good? What do you think we need to change? Being in one forum a couple of months before, I have heard from many senior business leaders that the main pain point that they observe from the IT is time to deliver. While at the same time, most of the IT organizations invest a lot of time to do cost reduction. So we have one inconsistency there. So it could be very, very good to go back to all the business stakeholders and get what they think, what they want from the IT in order to move forward their business. You need to visualize that. You need to make some artifacts in order to spread all that information with the rest of your teams and to all your stakeholders. Using some enterprise architecture frameworks like TOGAF, Zagman will make all that very, very efficient. Or also using something much simpler like benefits dependency networks. This is something very, very critical to happen before moving forward. I know that many people don't have the skills to do that. Probably it's a good idea to get advised by some organizations that having that in their blood and do that in a daily basis and know to make the right questions and take the right answers back. Probably you can consult Maximo Consulting Services or any other consulting firms that know how to do that kind of discussions and make the first analysis of your business. Since you have got the first input from your business about what you want to achieve, then you need to connect that with cloud computing attributes and capabilities. How the problem that you have for time to deliver will be solved by having resource pooling and self-service portal and also having automation and many things that comes to the capacity. If, for example, your organization is in the process of doing very, very aggressive mergers and acquisition, how the dynamic expansion of your resource pools, how the scalability or elasticity will bring benefits to your organization. Since you do that kind of connection, you need to measure that, and you need to measure that now. You need to measure that if I do resource pooling for that services and that business departments, what's going to be the benefit? What's going to be the advantage? And you need to measure that. By doing that, you're having very, very tangible goals, and you can go back to your executive sponsors and ensure all that investments, all that budget that you need to move forward. You're going to take their buy-in in order to support you to change all that business culture for the way that business interacts with the IT. Last but not least, you need to define priorities. If, for example, there is one organization that has as a key requirement, time to deliver. I need to get one virtual machine, not in 2 weeks, but in 5 minutes. I need to take one mailbox in 5 minutes and the request to be done by the end user, by the new employer. I don't want to have processes and processes and processes to get that. You can't promise that, and you can't do that as a first step because you need many other things. So you need to be pragmatic, and I will elaborate about it a bit later. A couple of artifacts that I have developed for some of my customers being in telco industry in Western Europe. Here, there are some business capabilities that cloud will deliver and being classified in three different pillars: economics, focus, and agility. This is one way to represent that in a very, very basic way and go in a presentation and elaborate on that. Of course, that kind of analysis cannot be handled by just one slide. It's a huge analysis that needs a lot of artifacts to support that. Another one is that, following again the different classification on agility, focus, and economics, we had in another organization, again in telco industry, again in Western Europe, similar cloud capabilities. But for that organization, these capabilities, these benefits were spread, most of them, among different pillars. So think out of the box. It's not about following specific principles or specific frameworks. Think that these are just a guidance. You need to be flexible to move forward. You need to define what you need, and you need to make the connection with the cloud attributes and capabilities. So far we have defined what is the end state from a business perspective, what we want from the IT to deliver for the next 3, 4, or 5 years in order the business to be successful. We need to identify where the IT stands today, what capabilities we deliver, because probably we deliver some things today. We're having probably some capacity management in place. We're having some scalability and elasticity practices in place. We're having some automation in place. So we need to go through and identify what exactly we have. This is definitely something really, really, really difficult, because trying to judge what we are doing by ourselves, in most of times, we're not objectives, we're subjectives. Therefore, what you need to do before starting building the roadmap in a very, very pragmatic way is about assessing in a very realistic way what you really, really deliver to the organization. One advice that I have for you is to use the Microsoft Cloud Assessment Tool. It's one free tool that you can access that online. And by answering about 70 questions, you get answers on how you do today in your IT infrastructure, how you manage your infrastructure, how mature you are, and how close you are to a cloud computing initiative. This follows something that is named IT Transformation or Core IO Assessment. It's about 4 levels of maturity that we see in different organizations. I will elaborate a bit on that. The first one is the basic level that we see very immature organizations that they don't have any kind of policies. They're just having infrastructure and they try ad hoc to manage that. That kind of maturity level makes the IT to be perceived by business as just a cost center. The next level is the standardized level. In that level, we're having some practices for management, we're having some automation, we're having some standardization, and the IT is getting perceived as an efficient cost center. After that, it's the rationalized. This is something that we're having extreme standardization, we're having extreme automation, we're having very efficient management. Very few people are working in order to manage and support and maintain the infrastructure, and the IT is considered as a business enabler. As we speak, most enterprises for almost every industry are somewhere between here, and all of them trying to reach something here. And last, we're having the dynamic level that is about adding, next to rationalized, all that business flavor that we need to have on the services and having one very, very mature IT infrastructure. By doing that, the IT is getting perceived as a strategic asset from by the business. So, again, before moving forward, we need to identify the gap. Using that tool, we will find out where do we stand today, what are the business priorities, and we need to make one plan, one roadmap that's going to last some months in a very pragmatic way. don't think about what the business would like to get. Think about what is also reachable, what is also feasible to be happen. Probably you need to go back to your business and negotiate a bit, because if you don't have any kind of standardization, if you don't have any kind of automation, you can't deliver again services metering. So make one roadmap that you are having pretty often some release cycles, that you release something to the business in order to have your business stakeholders connected to the process. A sample plan for switching to hybrid cloud. This is something that, as I said during the start of this session, this is something as a pattern. This is something that you can use as a basis in order to make your own transformation plan. This is a 5.5 step that you can follow in order to adopt one hybrid IT model. The first one is about doing advanced virtualization. The next three is about optimizing your infrastructure and management and the automation that you have in your data center. And the last one is about enriching your services with business attributes. During the last two, we can start doing the enablement of the hybrid IT infrastructure, because we're having something very, very mature, and the hybrid IT can take advantage of all the IT practices we have, and we can have all that time and things fixed in the infrastructure and in the processes in the IT organizational model to focus on the hybrid cloud scenarios. Let's go deeper and see what we have in each of them. Advanced virtualization. Most of my customers say, okay, we have that, let's move on. I say, okay, let's see again what we need to do here in order to say that we definitely have advanced virtualization. We need to increase the virtualization scale up to 100% if it is possible. As we speak, Hyper-V3.0, Windows Server 2012, they can virtualize practically everything. The only concern that we have, or the only block, is about some supportability statements that different services or applications have. But even for that, there are many, many workarounds that I can discuss with you about how to avoid that. We need to standardize virtualization in such a way to include in the virtualization layer all the resources. We need to standardize computing resources, computing units, storage, and networking. By doing that, we'll be able to manage that through the virtualization. And last but not least, we need to standardize the virtual machine templates, the output of the virtualization stack. By doing that, we are ready to move forward. It's not about doing P2V in a high scale and having different virtual machines with different settings. We don't care about doing virtual machines following a CERT approach, that the colors will be like that, the solder will be here, etc. We're following a T-CERT approach that, in most of times, T-CERT can be loose or can be a bit more stretched, but that's completely fine, because at the end of the day, we measure what services have consumed of resources according to what they have finally consumed in our pools and not what they have been reserved. We do capacity planning about what we have consumed and not what we have reserved. So, let's move on to the next step or the next phase. Resource pooling. We're having one standardization of the virtualization layer. We have one masterpiece there. We include everything on the virtualization layer, and we're getting ready to move forward. If we don't move fast to the next step, we're having actually one Jenga tower that if we touch any small piece, we will destroy that. Albert Einstein used to say that computers are fast, accurate, but stupid. People are slow, inaccurate, but brilliant. So we don't want people to interact with commoditized tasks. We want to take people's minds and to work on something more fuzzy. So we want the infrastructure to be managed in an automatic way on its own. So we need to standardize and start automating, or if that is not possible, to semi-automate some of the processes of managing the resources. For example, how I add extra scale units, how I add extra hypervisors, how I configure a new IP subnet, how I configure a new VLAN, how I configure a new LUN in the storage. All that needs to be automated and be handled through the management stack that we have. We need to introduce management and monitoring of all the resources that we have there. We need to have the insight about how our infrastructure, how our physical resources behave. Do we have any problem there? Do we need to do something? And how we'll manage that? We need one centralized way to do that. And last for that phase is about standardizing and automating the process of provisioning and deprovisioning virtual machines. So by finalizing that, we have secured that virtualization layer and everything underneath that is getting managed in a very automatic way, and we ensure standardization on everything we do in that layer. Moving forward, efficient capacity planning. Okay, we're having one process to add extra scales, extra VLANs, extra IP subnets, etc. But we need to find out a way to be notified when we need to do that. So we need to have trend analysis and think that now we don't do capacity planning service by service, but do that holistically per data center, per private cloud. So we need to have one way to identify how all our resource pools behave, how all these resource pools consume the resources, and to have the ability to forecast for the next months. Most of the enterprises have procurement cycles that last 3 or 6 or 9 months, so we need to have that kind of insight. So we need something really fuzzy here to identify how we configure new services and how these services consume resources as the time passes. Definitely, hybrid cloud infrastructure will give some benefits here, having burst to the cloud scenarios, but this is something as a principle that we need to apply. Extreme automation and standardization of resource management. In case that we have left something back, we need now to secure that everything that has to do with physical resources, has to do with virtualization, is standardized and automated. The next step is about applying fabric management principles. Most of your organizations already have practices for availability management, service level management, incident and problem management, and configuration management. That's completely fine. What we need to do is to change all these different IT management pillars and to make them more cloud aware. This is not something easy. This is something that will take a lot of time. But by that, you're going to have something really, really mature. By doing that, you will be able to start thinking about enabling hybrid IT. You will be almost ready to make that bridge with Windows Azure and having services spread between the different environments. So, what's about the extension to the hybrid IT? This is one short period step that, since we have everything in place, we can have all that subscriptions of Windows Azure or any other public cloud vendor in place, having the network connectivity, making all that planning in order to ensure that portability should happen for all the scenario that we have thought, and we can start building and automating the scenarios that workloads move between different environments. Last step for that process is about doing the advanced service management. We need to add the business flavor that we said to our services. We need to have one service catalog that's part of the self-service portal. Service consumers access that. They find out what kind of services we can offer. They provision that in an automatic way, and they get the services. By getting the services, they agree on a specific SLA, they agree on a specific cost model that you potentially have introduced, and finally, we're having one end-to-end cloud enablement for your enterprise. Some key takeaways from this session. Hybrid cloud is the way to go. It's something that makes private and public cloud complete. It's something that you need to think about. I know that extra complexity is getting introduced by that, but efficiency is getting higher by having a model like that. Don't think again bold on how you should place services. Services should be placed in a very dynamic way according to their specifications and according to what the technology or the infrastructure that you have selected to have supports. We focus more on business and less on technology. Technology is something proven. Going to most of my customers and having one customer telling me, Kostas, what about to have one POC? I say, okay, there is no reason to do a POC. Let's go have a pilot implementation. Technology is proven. Let's go together to one of our data centers in Amsterdam or in Dublin or in the United States. Let's go together to some of other customers that have thousands or even millions of virtual machines to see how they're having all that in place, how System Center operates, how Windows Server delivers all that that we need to deliver. And let's reuse most of that IP that we have there using product line architectures, et cetera, and move forward to have one pilot implementation. This journey is something that lasts some months. We don't want to make that longer for that reason. We don't want people and organizations to spend energy, time, and money to do things that are not needed to be done. Think for how and why you need to measure your success. You need to have business metrics. The IT is getting more business now. The IT stopped talking about networks, about cables, about storage, about cards, about things like that. Hardware, as we speak, is already a commodity. No one is investing, as we speak, in high-end hardware. Everyone buys commoditized hardware, and we expect from software to give all that management functionality that we expect to have. We are close to the end of high-end storages. We are close to the end of high-end networking components, high-end servers, because we're having software-defined data centers. So all that is something that exists. This is something that we already have implemented many, many times. Think about technology. Think about business more than technology. Think about having KPIs in order to go back to your stakeholders and communicate back what's your success, what's your plan. Last but not least, consider organizational change. The IT organizational change, new roles will be introduced, new responsibilities. The way that IT interacts with the business is going to change. You will not have, again, any mail coming to your mailboxes asking for a new mailbox or a new virtual machine. Everything should be driven through the self-service portal. You need to have regular meetings with your business stakeholders in order to discuss new releases, new asks that these people have for the services or for the business, to make one high-level planning on how the IT should be for the next years, what kind of service you need to deploy and you need to deliver to them. Some related content. Most of that has already passed the previous days, although I'm encouraging you to go through that again or to see that offline and to find out similarities with this session. Resources of all that exist in all these four pillars that you can see, TechNet, MSDN, and the Learning Portal, Channel 9 in MSDN. I would really appreciate if you spend a couple of moments to evaluate this session using the specific process that we have. We're having plenty of time, actually, for Q&As, so feel free to ask me anything you want, any kind of concerns or questions that you may have. Nothing? Can that happen?
I was thinking about the release cycle of the Azure platform.
Mm-hmm.
When we extend our private cloud to Azure,
mm-hmm.
Are we bound to the release cycles of Azure, so do we have to queue up?
Yep. Actually, you need to find out what technology has to offer to the next cycles. You know, we're having one inside of the next two cycles of what's coming next. That's completely fine. You need to find out how these are very relevant to what you have. Definitely, what we expect to have as a strategy for Windows Azure is about supportability of different workloads like this that we have announced earlier this week with the Oracle. It's about having Hyper-V Replica Manager, things that are more on the infrastructure and less on giving the business flavor. This is something that you need to include in your plan. And this is a small challenge, definitely, because you don't have a great insight of what's next in 6 months, and probably you need to invest a lot of energy to apply some part of automation on your own using Orchestrator or other tools, and suddenly this comes out of the box in a couple of months. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Actually, what we're doing as Microsoft, we're trying to have one pool of IP. All these people, including my team, that were working on the cloud computing space and on hybrid cloud computing space, we're having one library that we try there to concentrate all the different IPs, reports, automations, runbooks, whatever we find out that they're something really, really nice and we can reuse to other customers. And we try to redeliver that to other customers. This is also something that different product groups are having access. So these people, by seeing that, they also try to get that kind of request and make enhancements to the Windows Azure, to the System Center. So it's something that has to happen somehow, because this is something that Microsoft is getting better by seeing what the market needs and makes evolvement. Definitely, when you need to find out how to close a specific gap that you have, you go and you invest on your own to do that. And after a period of time, you see that in front of you. But having some connection with Microsoft will be something that will make things easier and can avoid some spare cycles on that. Something else? No? Okay, thank you so much for your time. I wish you a great weekend. Muchas gracias. Enjoy the rest of the day. Have a safe flight back. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for your time.